beginning at verse 18, right after the genealogy. I just learned how to spell genealogy last year. I always thought it was genealogy, and then I realized it wasn't.
It was what?
Genealogy. I'm trying to say it right. And you're trying to say, get a life. Well, let's look at verse 18. This is a nice story in that you see human activity and human plans and human perceptions trumped by God. I mean, it's really, I just appreciated it. It's very familiar, but there's a number of levels on which this can be appreciated. You can kind of go for the explicitly theological comments, or you can work the story and how it's presented. We'll just translate first. Verse 18, word order might look a little funny, but it's certainly permissible. The of Jesus Christ Genesis or origin. Genesis means origin or beginning. Was this way. Now we've had Genesis already in 1:1, the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, or the book of the origin of Jesus Christ. And now we had the genealogy leading up to it. Now here's the actual event. Here's Hutos, how it happened in this way. Now here's a participle, it's hard to pronounce. Mnesteuthesis, from mnesteuo, which means to woo and win, according to Powerhard Gingrich at Danker. Woo and win, that's right. And I think that happens when you see a really beautiful young lady and you go, woo, like that, and then you...
Yeah,
isn't that right? Yeah, it's onomatopoetic. And it's an aorist passive participle. We'll take it as temporal. After... and this is the genitive absolute. So we've got the genitive aorist passive participle with a genitive referent, his mother Mary, right? So you put mnesteuthesis and tes metros autou Marias all together. Translate, after Mary, his mother. Now this is a little bit anticipatory because he's not even conceived yet, but Mary's already designated his mother. So after Mary, his mother, was betrothed to Yosef, to Joseph, okay? And now let's not tell the story yet. Let's add another clause. So after this happened, but prin sin eothein. Prin often takes an infinitive. It's an idiomatic expression. It means simply before. They, autous is the subject of the infinitive, before they two come together. Easy enough. Before they came together. So after they were betrothed, but before they had sex, okay? Heu rethe en gastri echuza, ek pneumatos hagiu. She, now we have the aorist passive of heurisko, I find, she was found in stomach having, okay? Now, echein en gastri is idiom for to be pregnant, to have in the stomach. It's a typical way of saying it. And this participle, if you take the verb and turn it into active voice, it would sound something like this. They, or maybe he, Joseph, he found Mary having in stomach. That's the active voice. Okay. And Veltz put me on this one time. I think he's right. This is a participle of indirect discourse. That is, it tells what they found or what he found. That is, he found that she was pregnant. Okay. And if you take it and put it in passive voice, which is how it is now, she was found to be pregnant, or she was found as pregnant. Okay. The sense, and how? By the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, Joseph reacts. The story continues, verse 19. But Joseph, her husband, her aner, her man, now we have two participles. Dikaios own, literally, or the weasel translation, being righteous, and now we have another predicate position, participle, me thelon autain degmatizai, and not wishing to, degmatizo means ridicule or exposed to shame, and not wishing to expose her to shame. Now we'll back up, and I think it works well to take both these participles in a causal sense, that is, Joseph, her husband, because he was righteous and because he did not wish to expose her to public shame. And of course, you got to remember, kind of like the young maiden in the 1950s, this was a big deal in the first century in Palestine. In fact, the perhaps apocryphal story in John 8, what happens when a woman is caught in the act of adultery? Well, she could be dragged before a public court at the gate and stoned to death. So this is a big time deal to be found pregnant not by your husband, right? So Joseph, he does not wish to expose her to this terrible public ridicule and perhaps even worse. So he bulamais. He decided secretly, lathra, to release her. Apolio is means release, and it's idiomatic for divorce. It's the typical word to use to express divorce. So he decides to divorce her, which, yes, does speak about the seriousness of being betrothed in the first century, although we don't know much about it, and anybody who claims to have all the details about how this worked is simply reading the Babylonian Talmud and pretending he knows what the first century was all about. But something, it's a serious deal, right? In this society, once you're betrothed, you're legally married, okay? And so in order to break that, you have to apolio, you have to divorce. And it may be that way, I'm sure, in some cultures even today. Okay, so now the plan's working out just fine. Joseph's figured out what's wrong, he's figured out what's the right thing to do, and he's going to do it. Verse 20 begins that way. And another genitive absolute, tauta de autu, excuse me, en theme thentas. And after he considered these things, his plan gets changed. Idu, behold, angelos kyrio, an angel of the Lord, according to a dream, kat onar, ephane. Now this is a funny form. This is actually the aorist indicative passive from phino. And you're going, well, if it's aorist indicative passive, where's the theta eta on the end of the stem? And the answer is, it's not there. This is one of those verbs. Grapho does the same thing. The aorist passive of grapho is egraphane. And the aorist passive of phino is ephanane. Okay. And phino means to illuminate or to show or manifest. And here, the angel of the Lord was manifested, and in English often just rendered appeared, auto, to him, legon, attendant circumstances, and said. Joseph, this is the first time of many times that Joseph gets awakened or spoken to in dreams in Matthew 1 and 2. The poor guy didn't get much sleep there for a while. Joseph, son of David. Now that's important, son of David. How is it that Jesus is going to become the son of David? And the answer is, through Joseph's obedience, Jesus, the child of Mary, will be adopted into the line of David. Okay. So this is an act of some significance for Matthew's Christology. Joseph, son of David, mephobethes, don't be afraid, now an object infinitive, to take along or to receive, paralabane, the aorist infinitive from paralambano, to take Mary, your woman or your wife. Now let me explain why you shouldn't be afraid. Okay. Joseph's interpreting it one way, the angel gives God's interpretation. And again, you could really play on, you know, the unexpectedness of God. Because, and this, by the way, you know, I actually have heard it said by scoffers with regard to the virgin birth, you know, that, well, it was easy for those people to believe in a virgin birth back then. They sort of believed in stuff like that. Well, it's not easy for Joseph, okay? I mean, his 2 + 2 in the first century equals 4, right? And God has to tell you that it equals 3, which would be Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, that's not right. Anyway, Joseph knew how to make babies, and everybody else in the first century knew how to make babies. It takes, you know, 2 to 10 gidzo. Let's see. Do not fear to take Mary, your wife. Why not? For ta enaute genethen, the begotten thing in her, genao means to beget, or can also mean actually to bear or give birth, but here begotten. For this aorist participle with a ta on the front of it, the begotten thing in her, ek pneumatas estin hagio, out of the Spirit is of holy. I mean, word order is funny, but easy enough. Out is from the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. See? And this is what's going to happen. Texitai, from ticto, it's the irregular second principal part, texomai. She will bear or give birth to ahuyan, a son. And you, Joseph, because this is the father's job, you will call his name as Jesus. Two accusatives after kalao, you call the name as. So you will call his name Jesus. Autos gar. Now here we got a, this is a little emphatic. We've had two indicatives in a row here with no pronouns. Now we get the pronoun, the emphatic use of autos. For he himself will save his people from their sins. And I think you're all familiar with Jesus is the Greek form of the name Yehoshua, which is the same as Joshua, and it's related to Yashah, which means to save. And so there's a little bit of a play or a pun going on here in terms of just what Jesus' name means. And, you know, the original readers will get that. So here's what's going on. Joseph, you think this is a time for you to operate and protect your wife from public shame. No, I'm saying to you that the Holy Spirit has caused this child to be conceived, and his mission will be to save his people from their sins. And now, at this point, the narrative of the dialogue between Joseph and the angel stops. In verse 22, St. Matthew's voice kicks in for the first of many times that he will comment about fulfillment of Old Testament Scripture. And I think it is significant, this little word, holon. Tutunda holon gegonen. I don't think gegonen as a perfect is all that important. I think it's probably just one of these so-called aoristic perfects, which means it's sort of like an aorist. But St. Matthew writes, this whole thing happened. And the only other time he does that in a fulfillment citation is in 26:56, where as Jesus is being arrested in the garden, Jesus says, this whole thing has happened in order that, listen to the plural, the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. So I think this citation by the evangelist is sort of an inclusio with Jesus' own words in 26:56. This whole thing, from start to finish, right? I think it's to be understood that way. The reader is going to get all the way to chapter 26 and go, oh yeah, it's the whole thing. Right? Here's the beginning of the whole thing. Happened in order that, ta hrethen, this, believe it or not, is from Lego. The sixth principal part is erethe, and this is just the aorist participle passive, the having been spoken thing. In order that, the having been spoken thing by the Lord through the prophet, plerothe, might be fulfilled, saying. Oh, the prophet, as he said. And now we quote Isaiah 7:14. Idu, behold, the virgin will have in stomach, she will be pregnant. And right. And those participles, right? What did you call that? The imminent future? Yeah. Right. The virgin will be pregnant and she will bear a son. And oddly enough, I don't know what significance this is, they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, and this is a standard way of giving the rendering from a Semitic language into Greek in the Gospels, which is being translated, with us the God. At this point, there's actually a question as to how to translate this, and it's a Christological issue. Well, actually, it's not really a Christological issue. Is St. Matthew here calling Jesus ha-theos? And believe it or not, I mean, I am Orthodox, I believe in the Bible, I believe in the Lutheran Confessions. What else can I believe in to show that I'm Orthodox? Peeper, that's it. Okay. I'm not so sure that St. Matthew wants us to understand here theos as a title for Jesus. I think rather what he, although he does think, and obviously so do we, that Jesus is truly God, begotten of the Father, and the whole Nicene thing. Okay. But I think Jesus' name, Emmanuel, by the way, he's never called that in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the only place where it occurs. It simply means that in Jesus, God himself is with us. I think it's a sentence. See, it's not the God who is with us, but God is with us. Now, yes, you know, Matthew's Gospel teaches the deity of Christ. But here, this would be more of an active sense, that is, with us to save, with us to bring his kingdom, right? With us to save his people from their sins. So if you're going to play with what's the significance of meth himon hamon hatheos, it's God is with us to do something. I mean, I would give that the major thrust. Although, obviously, there's at least an implication here that if in this baby God is with us, then, well, there's something said there also about who the baby is. But I would want to give it a little bit more of what God is going to do as an oomph. And then Joseph's mind has sufficiently been changed. Verse 24 and 25 just tells the story. Joseph obediently gets up. He egerthesis from the dream, from the hypnotic state, and he apoiesens. He did as the angel of the Lord prostasod ordered him to do, and he took the wife of him. He received her. He didn't push her aside. This is very important. Kai uk eginoskin. And he kept on not knowing her. Note that it's an imperfect, right? Not just he didn't know her once, but this was their enduring relationship, okay? That's very deliberate. Until, heos hu etikin, until she bore a son. And he called his name as Jesus. So again, you can do the overt theology, which is right out there in front and is great stuff, or you can do God acting to sort of change the events, even though well-meaning human beings. Here, in this case, well-meaning human beings. In Isaiah 7, it's not so well-meaning human beings. But God interrupting the course of events because he is bringing about his scripturally foretold plan. And here, front-loaded in the Gospel of Matthew is all this stuff about the identity and origin and mission. Already you have the mission of Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. The big question that Lutherans often want to ask is, well, was Mary semper virginis? Was she ever virgin, right? And the answer is a definite, probably not. Because an until clause like this is ambiguous. I think the normal meaning of these until clauses is, yes, this will be true until a certain time limitation, and then, unless otherwise specified, after that terminus, the condition is changed. I mean, that's the normal way to read it, unless there's another reason, like, you're not getting an A from me, Gable, until hell freezes over. Well, I mean, you understand the import of it there, but I think here the easiest reading is that Mary and Joseph had at least six other children, because we're given the names of four of Jesus' brothers and said that he has sisters in Matthew chapter 13. So put that in your papist pipe and smoke it. And it's time to stop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, he kept on not knowing.